Good evening and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening on a very special show. We're going to have not one, but two live reports from Minneapolis as we get an update on Eagles, Patriots, and counting down to the big game coming up on Sunday. So two live reports coming up over the next 60 minutes. Plus, we're going to talk some high school sports topics and a little hot stove league as well. Now, before I introduce our special in-studio guest, though, I have a public service announcement because, as you know, when we have predictions on the show, I always want to honor people. And on September 5th of 2006, a gentleman on this very show predicted that the Eagles were going to win the NFC Championship, and we're proud to have him here today to honor him for this incredible prediction made in September of 2006, because it has come true, along with his longtime partner in crime on the radio, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig.
Hey,
and
Chris.
Jack Logic from WGPA Radio.
Hey, 12 years. Hey,
that's,
you know,
extraordinary.
Hey,
what a great
only
job.
Only took 12 years.
11 and a half, almost to the day. Congratulations.
Good, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere, to be really honest.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Although I want to apologize for our camera people because they are all Eagles fans. They are mentally inebriated. So if we appear fuzzy or more fuzzier than normal, that's because they are celebrating and they might just jump into an Eagles chant.
Match,
at some point.
They'll match the panel.
So my attire's okay, right?
Yeah. And by the way, Jack, thank you for being objective on this show, previewing the Patriots-Eagles game on Sunday.
Yes.
I'm sure you won't have any bias at all as we take a look at...
No, not at all.
Take the graphic away. Look at the, where's your hat, by the way? You took it out.
I got a hat.
Look at that. Eagles jacket, Eagles shirt, Eagles hat, Eagles sock, and I won't know anything else.
No, got a green and white cup, even.
Yeah, that's sad.
I thought I'd come prepared.
All right. Now, we're going to be, in just a couple minutes, we're going to hear from Nick Fierro, who's out doing a great job for The Morning Call on themorningcall.com. He's going to be calling in with a live report from Minneapolis, and then Keith Groller will be joining us with some insights as well. I do have to let people know about something, because you probably saw this in The Morning Call this week, this article that the NFL, if you don't believe me, it's on themorningcall.com. Go there right now and check. But the NFL, in their infinite wisdom to try to make a buck, has trademarked the term Super Bowl. They've trademarked the game that's going to be played on Sunday. So therefore, unless, you know, if you're any kind of business, a restaurant, a bar, any kind of company, you have to either get the permission of the NFL and or pay Roger Goodell, who just got a raise after making $26 million this year, some money to say the name of the game that's going to be played this Sunday. So I was told that we are not allowed to mention the name of
the big game.
The big game. Yeah, to refer to it as the big game.
Not to mention the name. You mean
we have to refer to
the whole thing and the number of the game?
Yes.
Or just the
whole
first part?
Yes.
So if we say part of it, it's okay.
So
if I was to say to you they're playing number 52 this year, everybody, I mean, we're okay.
And Eagles are in the SB, right?
There you go.
Yes, you can say
the SB.
Yeah. Because that's why, and you see billboards out there, they say fetch, or, you know, they say fly, Eagles fly. There's no mention of the term.
Or we could say
dash, dash, dash.
Or we could say super dish. I mean, anything
like
that.
That's borderline.
I mean, no, it isn't. It's
just watch it. Rick Kehoe, our studio manager, said they've installed a device below us with a pool of live sharks. The floor will open up.
It'll open up
if we slip and say the entire term.
We'll
so just watch yourself today.
We'll watch.
Breaking down the game.
We will.
But I do want to get your thoughts objectively on the game, Eagles versus the Patriots in the big game. What are your thoughts heading into this Sunday's matchup?
I see it 27-20. I think the Eagles are going to win, but I think it's going to be good football game, but I think the Eagles have everything that you want. They have a great front four. Their offense line is better than the Patriots, so I think the game's going to be won up front. I think both quarterbacks will do a real good job. And I just think the Eagles are out-personnel them. And I think, you know, I didn't want Doug Peterson as my head football coach. He has done a great job with a great staff with Jim Schwartz, Frank Wright, John DeFilippo, and they're just running on all cylinders right now. They got a lot of momentum.
All right. Joe?
Well, they're going up against Brady and Belichick, first of all. And you know, there's a mystique there, and I don't care what anybody says. That gets in your head. It's got to get in your head when you look at the success they've had. But I agree with Jack. I think the better team wears the green and white. There's no question in my mind about that. And I think the key to the game, really, I think the key to the game is going to be the Eagles' running game. I think if they can keep their running game, get 120, 130 yards rushing, and they can keep Brady off the field, and get points at the end of those rushes and be able to mix in the pass. And they got to take a few shots deep downfield. Mm-hmm. They've got the speed to do that. And let's not forget that this New England defense is ranked 26th or 7th in the league. Yeah.
So that's in yardage given up.
Yes, I understand. But look at what the Eagles have done when they've been in the red zone. They lead the league in scoring in the red zone, or very close to the top. So I think all of the things point to them being able to win this game. But I think their running game is going to be a key. And I think the other part of it is the Eagles' defense has to put pressure on Brady. And
it's which they can do with that front four.
It's got to come from the front four. They can't afford to send a lot of guys in to put pressure on him, because, boy, Brady will just pick you apart. Yeah. Amendola will go nuts. And they've got to control him.
All right, let's get some expert analysis from the man who's been out there doing a great job for the morning call all week long, previewing the big game coming up on Sunday. Nick Fierro, Eagles beat writer at the morning call. Nick, thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure. I understand I'm just basically setting the stage for Keith.
I think you're doing all this work out there. He's doing stories on tater tots and what kind of food he likes out there, and all these celebrities he's meeting.
Those are the most popular stories in our paper. You're getting more hits than anything I'm writing.
Well, I like the old X's and O's too. So I'm enjoying your work out there. What has it been like, first of all? I know there's a lot of fluff that goes on, and we'll probably ask Keith more about the puffy horse and pony shows that's going on this week. But as far as nuts and bolts, how has the Eagles been this week?
It's been good. I think it's been a good week for the Eagles. It seems like a loose bunch, although I've been asked this question a lot, and I think that there's no way of telling how they're going to come out on Sunday, but they seem to be enjoying themselves and not being tight at all. But it's cold. You want an atmospheric type of a it's cold. And you walk 15 seconds out the door here, your ears are about to fall off your face. That kind of cold. But our hotel is right across the street from this media center. And I got to tell you, sometimes you have to walk it. You can't take the shuttle. And just that little 10-minute walk, is just is a killer.
I guess the big news from this afternoon, Rob Gronkowski cleared to play, definitely going to be in the Super Bowl. How much does that change how the Eagles prepare, and certainly what the Patriots can do on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that I would have been surprised if he didn't clear. He had 2 weeks since the last, since he got the injury. And, he had been working his way back slowly. So I would have been a really unexpected bonus for the Eagles if he'd have been out for this game. But he is, and I think they've obviously been preparing for him the whole time, as if he were playing. I don't know that they have a plan to stop him. I think they have a plan to stop other people and, let him do his thing, as long as they can get him down after he makes the catch. Because you try to body him up, you're going to draw the interference. Maybe it's best to play a little soft on him and then just try to get him down. This is a very good tackling team. That's one thing they have going for them in that regard. They will give up passing yards. They'll give up yards up and down the field, but they really tough it up in the red zone.
Nick, your good friends Jack Logic and Joe Craig are here. They want to pick your brain.
Nick, I think we'll see a lot of nickel defense from the get-go. I think we have the four linemen, of course, one or two linebackers, and three safeties sometimes, three cornerbacks sometimes. I think that's what you're going to be looking at.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much their base now. I mean, they hardly ever use the three linebackers. the three linebackers anymore. That's the same with New England too. I mean, they don't on their depth chart. They don't even list. They don't even list their base defense. They list on their depth chart as two linebackers and three cornerbacks. But that's what you're going to see. You're going to see all kinds of mixed packages, especially from New England. I mean, they're the ones who kind of started that. Belichick's the one who started that when he was an assistant coach. And they're really good at getting matchups. And so as far as that goes, the Eagles are going to try to counter that, I would think, at times, with up-tempo, try to keep the defense from substituting.
Nick, I think 2 points. One with Gronkowski, I think they got to mix up what they do with him. you've got to give him different looks all the time, so he doesn't exactly know who's playing on him, who's not playing him, whether it's zone, whether they're on, you know, man-to-man. I think they got to give him a lot of different looks. The guy that worries me more is Amendola. I mean, that guy, every time I watch him, he just tears everybody up because he always slips in underneath things and catches those 5-6 yard passes. Do you see anything? They got a plan to do something about him?
Oh, I'm sure they do. They're not telling us what that is. I would imagine that you'll see really a lot of the same as what you saw all year, which is multiple coverages. I don't think that they're going to be playing they're going to be playing a lot of press man in this type of situation,
right?
Because Brady is so quick with getting the ball out, and I think he's so smart that you do that. I think he'll be able to buy enough time. Brady would, especially in a 4-man rush, to be able to get that to wait the extra second for those guys to break free. So I think they have to play. I think you're going to see more soft coverage than anything else. It's just my theory on that.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, but and I heard you guys talking before I came on about the 4-man rush. Yeah, that would be great if they could do that, but.
Right.
I feel like that they've gotten their best mileage this year, pressure on the quarterback when they come with the blitz. And, he doesn't like the blitz, but he does, and he's been so successful with it this year, Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. And I think it's because he could trust the back end of that defense a lot more now.
Yeah.
It's a little more stable. I mean, it's been the same safeties as he had last year, but he feels better with his cornerbacks too.
Mm-hmm.
And the second year in with the safeties in his system, they understand it a lot better. Two pretty smart guys, in McLeod and Jenkins. So, and then plus they throw Corey Graham in there, they have the nickelback, Patrick Robinson. They have a bunch of guys that understand different coverages and can play different coverages. They don't necessarily have a personality. They don't necessarily have a way that they have to play, to be at their best. I think that kind of would work in their favor too.
Nick, do you think the running game, the Eagles' running game, is going to be a big factor in this game? I mean, it would seem sensible to me to keep Brady off the field as much as you can. Do you see that as being one of the keys?
Yeah, there's no question about it. The Eagles have always been under Peterson since he's taken this team over. The Eagles are generally a much better team when they control the ball. They really do try. That is one of the things that they do. It's important to them. It was not important to them under Chip, obviously, and not even under Andy, for that matter. He didn't really care about ball control. But under Doug, it is, and it has helped. It helps the defense most of all.
Right.
And I think they will try to do that, and I think they will be able to have some success. It won't hit on every play, on every running play. They'll be stuffed. They'll be behind the chains at times, and they're going to have to rely on Donnie Jones. But I think they're going to be able to hit on enough. As you'll see in our section that comes out on Sunday, I did a whole separate story on the pass run option that's kind of taken over the NFL basically since Chip came into the league, and the Eagles have kind of kept it. And one quarterback who seems to run it as well as anybody, if not better than anybody, is Nick Foles. I mean, that's what he ran in 2013, and they've slowly mixed in a little bit more for him since he's taken over, to the point now where they feel like they can go at anybody, and he can master it. And it's very tough to defend. I mean, it's just about even if you know what's coming, you know what play is called. If it's a run pass option, you don't know how it's going to unfold because it doesn't happen until after the snap. So executed the right way, and they have the players that can do this, and the quarterback who can process all this information pretty quickly and make right decisions. I think they're going to be able to make that running game work for them, off of that.
Nick,
if they can't push these guys off the ball, which I think they can anyway.
Nick, Joe mentioned Amendola. His name starts with an A. He's the slot receiver for the Patriots, of course. I think one of the keys will be Nelson Aguilar. going against Roe, the Patriots. I think Nelson could have a big game.
Yeah, I mean, if the Patriots have not shown that they can, they give up a lot of yards. They give up more yards than the Eagles do. You know, I think they're right to the bottom of the league, maybe 30th or something like that, 28th in yards allowed. They will give up yards, and the Eagles are going to be able to drive the ball on them, and they will give up passes to the slot, you know, receivers, the opponent's slot receiver. They could be beaten deep, too, for that matter. But, yeah, Aguilar could be a key. But the whole thing is, with this Eagles offense, is that the Patriots can scheme to take any one of these guys out, or maybe two of these guys out. But, you know, at some point, you can't take everybody out. Yeah, and the Eagles have a bunch of guys who are all capable that, you know, if, let's say, Zach Ertz is taken out of the game, Nelson Aguilar is taken out of the game, they have enough other people in there that that will be open that I think can make plays in big situations.
Our special guest, Nick Fierro, Eagles and NFL beat writer from The Morning Call and themorningcall.com. Some great coverage all week long in print and also online. As far as matchups, I don't know if this would be oversimplifying everything, but is it one of the big keys, I think, the Eagles cannot allow Brady to have a chance to win the game late? I mean, that sounds so basic and so easy, but basically, are we going to, through all the strategy and all the X's and O's, or is it going to come down to, hey, if the Eagles have a lead of seven or less late and Brady gets a chance to win it, that is what the big fear is for Eagles fans?
I think it might be, but I don't think it's a fear for the Eagles. I think they want to be in that situation. If you ask every one of these, any one of these cornerbacks, safeties, they want to be, you know, that's the same way that the final 2 minutes of that Atlanta game went down. And they wanted to be in that spot. Not quite the same quarterback, you know, not quite the same team. Yeah. But they feel like they can do that against anybody, and that's where they want to be.
Yeah, Nick, you know, there's one other thought I had, and I haven't heard many people talk like this, but we're a lot more confident, I think, as a fan base going into this game because we know that this team just – they never quit, and they seem to be able to do a lot of the same kinds of things that New England does. You know, they win a lot of games close, and they do the right thing at the right time. But there's a side of me that says, you know, if – God forbid it doesn't work out, they're going to be there a lot in the next 7 or 8 years. That this team, I believe, is maybe the next team that's going to be there a lot. So I'm a little. It puts me a little more at ease. Do you sense that from anybody else, or am I just?
Oh yeah, a lot of people feel that way. And my response to that though is you just never can tell.
No, of course.
We've seen this situation before. You have to worry. I think you have to worry about Carson Wentz that he doesn't become Sam Bradford the second. He's been hurt in college. He's been hurt each year now in the pros. He could end up being hurt the whole rest of his career.
Well,
but
Brady,
even with that,
Brady had the
you
same.
Know, they could be there. They have a good program in place now. They have a program. They don't just have a team. They got a program now.
Well, you know,
like Alabama, they're going to be good year after year.
When you look at that injury thing, I mean, the same can be said about Brady. You know, he missed a lot of games that was his first or second year. And he was
I think he only missed the 1 year, and that was like well into his career, and they still won 11 games.
Right, but he came back and he didn't miss a beat, is what I'm trying.
Right, but I mean, Brady has been pretty durable except for one year.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz has been banged up in college, and he's been banged up both years in his first 2 years in the pros.
Yeah,
I think that's a red flag, and again, it's not like they can't win. We've seen this happen. They might end up with another quarterback like a Foles who could bring them there, you know. But because I think they have a good program in place. Mm. But I think it's just way too premature to think, oh, you know, they have Carson Wentz, they have a good team in place. They could be here three or four more times over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't buy into any of that.
The reason I'm saying it is, it's not just the quarterback situation. It's Ertz. They've got a lot of good young players that they're going to – I think many of them they're going to have for many more years. It's just the way I think about it. It's not like I'm saying he's the only reason. I think they've got basis for it.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's the biggest reason, though. They have a program going now, and it looks like they finally got some things right. far as the power structure, being able to function in that front office where they're not feuding and the guys getting fired. Joe Douglas, you know, I think, again, they blocked him from interviewing with Houston because he's so valuable. But maybe they lose him. And if they lose him, that's back to square one, too. I don't think there's any coincidence that Howie Roseman is executive of the year. And the fact that they just, you know, this is the second year of Joe Douglas. They hired him in, I think it was like May of last year. Right. And, you know, they've really taken a huge step. They don't get a lot of things wrong anymore.
Yeah,
and so it's going to be tough to keep the whole thing together that way. But it seems like if they can do that, they can keep the pipeline going with the right personnel people making decisions that obviously Doug, who has the commands and respect of that locker room, that they could have a team that contends for it every year, you know, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Nick, I think Joe Douglas showed with Alshon Jeffries coming over for the Bears the 1 year he was there, and, of course, Timmy Jernigan coming over from Baltimore. Douglas had stops at both those places, and both those players have played great all year.
Yeah, and let's not forget Torrey Smith. I mean, he didn't have a great year at all, but he made some big catches for them in the playoffs, obviously, the last week or 2 weeks ago, rather. You know, Corey Graham was one of his guys, too, veteran, who made a big play in the last game. And, I think they've done a much better job in free. I mean, look at the job that look at the receivers that they signed last year going into free agency. None of them really worked out. This year, you know, they did, and even though they went through some rough patches, but just a much better batting average that they've had this year, getting guys in there, and because they when you think about it, I mean, it's not like they got a bunch of guys in the draft that are helping them out right now, they've really done the job with getting trades and free agents, you know, the Ronald Darby's, Corey Graham's, the Patrick Robinson's.
Nick, before we let you go, what's the next couple days like for you? I know the media sessions with the players is winding down today, and you don't have much access to them. But what do you have in plan for the next couple days? And what are we going to see in the morning call the next couple days as well, leading up to the big game?
You're going to just see a bunch of stories from me, from Keith Groller, Andrew Wagaman. All three of us are here. We're cranking them out, and the access to the players and coaches is tomorrow, and then they shut it down, for Saturday, and so that we won't see or talk to anybody until after the game on Sunday. But there's still a lot, and we're going to have a special section for the Super Bowl where I explain about I'm going to be writing about how they rebuilt this program in the 2 years since Chip was fired. And also about how breaking down a little bit more about how they really kind of used that run pass option to their advantage, and it really made that work for both quarterbacks, and maybe even especially more so, with Foles, who's done it more maybe than Wentz, and made it work at this level. I had more experience making it work at this level than Wentz, and we're going to have it we're going to have it covered, I think, from every angle. I do think that, like I said earlier, the players seem loose. There's no real predictor of how they're going to come out, but I do anticipate a great game. Lots of Super Bowls, as you know, are clunkers. Maybe not so much in recent history, but I do anticipate this staying the way it's been, which is, for the most part, having really good games.
Well, Nick, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck enjoying the big game on Sunday, and we'll continue to enjoy all the great work you and your colleagues are doing at the Morning Call leading up to Sunday's game. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys.
Take care.
Nick Fierro, Eagles and NFL beat writer, kind enough to join us. Very busy out in Minnesota this week. All right, we're going to talk some high school football, high school sports in general, and also Keith Groller will be joining us with more insights, including some unique perspectives of what's going on out in Minnesota coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, though, it's time for the trivia question, give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. I did hear the S word mentioned during that, but we'll just keep on moving. Nick's a member member of the media. He can, you know, newspaper guys can do whatever they want. What two teams participated in the fewest total points scored in the S-Bowl in the history of this fabulous big game? Which two teams participated in the fewest total points scored? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Joe Craig, who predicted the Eagles would win the NFC Championship game just 11 and a half short years ago. You didn't do any crowing. I thought you'd be like, you know, up on the desk here saying.
No, I'm getting older.
You know what?
I don't want to get too excited.
You know what makes that prediction even more incredible?
What's that?
In the 14 years of this show, it was the first time you were ever right with a prediction.
Oh, now that's just flat out not true.
Chris, he does it all the time.
Yeah. Sure he does.
Right. Nothing like being surrounded by friends.
But we are previewing the big game. And again, Joe, you got to read this article on the Morning Call. Do you want to zoom in on this? You cannot say the S-. I did not make this stuff up. Believe me.
I didn't see it.
It's in the Morning Call. Go read it. Before we get to Keith Groller, there's a couple issues I want to ask you guys about. One of them, high school wrestling. Joe, you spent a lot of years around it.
Sure.
Jack, you're Mr. Easton when it comes to wrestling. But I want to ask you about wrestling in general this year, because I look at the EPC layout, I look at the scheduling, it's not perfect, but I thought it was a very competitive year. But the people who know more about wrestling certainly than I do were saying, no, they didn't like the schedule, the schedule's horrible, they didn't like this matchup. There was a lot of grumbling this year. Is it warranted, or what was the story from the wrestling community?
You want me to go first, Joe, or you
go
want
ahead.
To
go?
Okay, it's warranted. It's been this way for 3 years. The powers that be at District 11 blame the coaches for this. And there's they just have two divisions, and they just revamped it this year. I mean, big change was that the one division, which is Division B, got freedom instead, and Liberty went to Division A, which was with Becca. So, like I said, it is what it is. Wrestling, for the most part, to me, I love the sport. I'll be at my 51st straight state wrestling championships in March. But it's not as good as it has been.
But the EPC Challenge, was that a success last week? On paper, it looks like it's a nice matchup with a lot of interest, a lot of interesting back and forth with the teams. And then Nazareth and Becca, best teams squaring off in the championship.
I'll say a third of the bouts were interesting.
Really?
The other
Colonial League
arms.
Also was pretty competitive.
Yes, they do it a different way. They don't do all the teams.
Yeah. By the way, the first round dual scores in so far, Stroudsburg defeated Whitehall, Bangor defeated Pottsville, Penargill. Was a winner along with Panther Valley beating Caddy. So there you go. Joe, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not as close to it as I have been other years, but I do follow it, and I've been to a few matches in Bethlehem this year. I don't think it's as strong across the district as it has been. We were just talking on the break about Bethlehem Catholic and their chances of winning the state title, and I think Jack feels pretty confident that they're a real solid contender. And yet, you know, I just, unless the rest of the state has come down a little bit, I don't think that the area is as strong as it has been. Mm-hmm. Not on the 3A level, possibly on the 2A level. Saucon Valley looks really good. And of course, when Becca was in 2A, they dominated the state. But I don't think it's what it once was.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Karen wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Karen, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hello.
Hello, yes. Karen. Fire away. I believe you want to take a shot at our trivia question.
Super Bowl VII.
And who are the teams? We need the two teams.
Dolphins and the Redskins.
You got it.
14-7.
Oh, you even got the score. You give us something extra
you
there.
You got it. Very good.
Yep.
Very good.
Karen, are you an Eagles fan?
Yeah.
That's the not the most enthusiastic fan I've heard in the last hour. You're rooting for the Eagles, though, for the big game on Sunday, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not wearing a shirt and jacket and Eagles hats and other stuff like Jack is.
Well, that's good for him. Yeah. I'll watch the game.
Not good for us. Are you a little bit laid back about it because you're nervous or because you're really not that big a fan?
Not that big of a fan.
Ah, okay.
Eagles.
Okay. Well, are you
a
Giant?
Patriots.
Who is your team?
My team?
Yes, please.
The Raiders.
Okay, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Just so it's not the Cowboys.
It's a whole
other
ball of wax.
You're a Raiders fan. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right. One of the few in the Lehigh Valley.
Now, yeah. There's quite a few, believe it or not. The Raiders, the Cleveland Browns, you'd be surprised you go around and you hear
John Leon is a Brown fan.
Yeah, John Leon's president of the Lehigh Valley.
By the way, he got gypped again. He was counting on Alex Smith coming to town, and we're going to burst his bubble tomorrow and start our game tomorrow. But, Karen, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be in contact with you about the prize.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
When we come back, we'll have more insights on the big game from Morning Call senior sports writer Keith Groller right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Joe Craig, Jack Logic, and joining us via the phone line from out in Minnesota, senior sports writer Keith Groller. Keith, welcome to the show that you co-host every week.
Well, I don't know if it's such a good move. I mean, I'm standing here in Minneapolis, and it's like 3 degrees outside.
Oh, here we go.
So I'm not very bright sometimes. I chose tonight come down to Minneapolis and see what's happening while Nick Fierro is in the cozy media center there at the Mall of America.
Brightest
guy in the world.
Are you talking to us from outside, Keith?
I am just in, you talk about a non-glamorous location. I'm inside of a Walgreens right by the front door, but I am by a heater.
They're not a sponsor here. Wait a minute. They're not a sponsor. You can't even say the SS bowl.
I hear you're eating pretty good. That's all I heard.
Yeah, wait. We have to situate something. Is it because you are the king of all Lehigh Valley media, or do you just have a great agent that Nick is out there busting his hump, doing all these X's and O features, and some of your stories are celebrity interviews, big name sportscasters, how you make tater tots in Minnesota, and your favorite type of cold duck, just some of the investigative reporting I've seen you're doing at themorningcall.com. How'd you pull that off?
I'll tell you what, you know, I've been cranking out stories. It's just kind of like the soft stuff, and Nick's the hard hitter. What can I say? He's our Eagles expert. No one in the Lehigh Valley knows more about the Eagles than Nick Fierro. Nobody in the Valley knows more about eating than me. So I've been covering the food feed for the most part.
Did you do that? Did you do that story today on Doug Ertz?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I coached at Lehigh when he was there.
Is that right? You were on that staff with the Starrett and Barry Fetterman, huh?
Yep. We were all together
and
there.
Of course, John Whitehead was the head coach. Do you remember much about Doug Ertz?
Oh, yeah. He was a tough kid. He played fullback, played a lot, and he was really aggressive. But great kid to coach.
He's very, very proud of, and who wouldn't be? He's very proud of Zach, who went to Stanford, and you know, wasn't necessarily a real, a guy that was groomed to be in the NFL. He's actually going to be maybe a college basketball player, and here he is.
Yeah.
You know, and starring for the Eagles, and I know that Doug is very, very proud. He's very proud of Lehigh. He's also very proud of Wilson Westlawn.
Yeah,
he played out there too.
He was quite a player, but I'll tell you this. If Zach Ertz is as tough as his dad was, he's going to be around for a while, because his dad was.
Well, tough. I think that's a given, Joe. I think that's a given. Zach Ertz is pretty special, and he could be playing a key role on Sunday. That's for sure.
Yep, great.
Keith, as you know, I'm not a big pony and show type of guy, but the Super Bowl is just a whole other thing. I'm sorry. Where's the floor?
Get the soap.
The big game is more than just a game, because there's a lot of fluff involved. I had to turn the Justin Timberlake press conference off when a reporter stood up and said, hey, it's your birthday. Let's all get together and sing happy birthday in the middle of a press conference out there, which made me turn the channel. But how much percentage-wise of it is game and nuts and bolts, diehard football, and what percentage is it of just fluff and just things that you would just make old-school sports people just want to throw something at the television set?
Well, having attended press conferences for three straight days, maybe 4 days, I didn't really get to see much of the Patriots and the Eagles today, but certainly I was at all the media sessions Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I would say it's like 50-50. There's actually a lot of serious questions about how you're going to attack, you know, the Eagles defense, and then there's questions like, do you prefer clam chowder or Philly cheesesteaks? I mean, that kind of stuff. It's, you know, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you want to be? It's insane. It's insane. So, it is a show. It's the biggest event in sports, and it's a carnival in a sense. But I will say that. You know, to be here to cover it, it's a thrill for me. I mean, the only other one I was a part of was the one at the Meadowlands a couple of years ago, and I was driving back and forth, and that one didn't quite have the flair of this one. But, it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it Sunday night.
Keith, on my phone, there's all this breaking news from places other than the morning call, and I'm slowly deleting apps as the week has gone on. Some of the breaking news stories from Yahoo and so forth is just ridiculous. But there was one story I did see that the Eagles, because of the extended pregame and halftimes, that the Eagles are spending time this week practicing standing around so they're not awkward in the locker room for the extra time between the period. How exactly do you practice standing around? And has that been the most bizarre story that's been out there or circulating out of Minnesota this week?
Well, that's one of them. But you do know that the halftime is an important thing here, because it's really crazy during the NFL regular season and even the playoffs, where you have about a 10-minute halftime where you get off the field, you get in the locker room, and basically you maybe go over one or two things, and then you head out, because the halftime is really about 12 minutes or something like that in the regular season game. So this is one situation where the coaches do have the extra time to go over some different things, make adjustments. We've seen that in Super Bowls where games turn around with halftime adjustments. The Patriots certainly did it last year against Atlanta. So how do you handle – I don't know about that standing around crap, but, you know, hey, you can really you better know how to handle the halftime situation, because it's very, very different than what you have during the regular season. And how they make use of that time is very, very important.
By the way, if they need an expert on standing around, I want to volunteer Joe Craig, because according to Mike Schneider, when he was the AD, that's all he did when he was at Murphy. I had to say that for Mike Schneider.
Now,
I promised him a zinger.
Keith, you were
lying the other night.
Hey, guys, all I want to know is Jack. Well, I haven't heard that golden tone voice of Jack.
You'll hear it now.
Thanks. Go
right. Keith, you're doing a great job out there. Enjoy the articles. 13 years ago, Charlie Weiss supposedly with that long halftime took advantage of it and Roy outfox probably the greatest defensive coordinator in Eagles history, Jim Johnson.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Good point. I think though that Doug Peterson and this staff, Frank Reich and of course Jim Schwartz, I'll take them. I mean, I know this is a ballyhooed coaching staff they're going against, but I'll tell you what, these guys have pushed all the right buttons. I love Reich. I mean, he's been calling some great, great games. And, you know, I do believe that in terms of coaching staff against coaching staff, it's a fairly even matchup, but they might even give the edge to the Eagles. I think they're going to push all the right buttons on Sunday. I really do.
Among the festivity that's going on out there, the Hall of Fame class will be announced in a day or two. Terrell Owens, who, of course, made quite a name for himself with the Eagles, is up for the third time. What are your thoughts on T.O. actually being elected to the Hall of Fame? What are what are you hearing from people out there? And who are the popular names to get into this year's class?
Well, I did talk to our local Hall of Famer today. He's in Minnesota. I haven't really been able to see him because he's on a whirlwind tour. But I did talk to Andre Reed this morning. And Andre thinks one of the I don't have the list in front of me, but T.O. and there's another very, very, very good receiver who is up for election. He thinks it's never been done before that two went in at the same time. But he thinks T.O.'s got a great shot. He likes Ray Lewis. He likes Brian Dawkins. Those are the guys that he mentioned to me that he thinks have a great chance. Of course, Andre went through the process all those times where he was denied, and then he finally got in 2014. And he knows better than anybody that you just never can count on anything. So it's just a matter, you know, if you have the list in front of you, Chris, I can't remember the great receiver that's up there with Terrell Owens, but he thinks only one of the two are going to go in and not both of them.
I'll look that up right now. Jack?
Brian Dawkins' case, it's hard for a safety to get in, and there's a lot of good safeties out there, including John Lynch, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Keith?
I couldn't quite hear you, Jack, but Brian Dawkins definitely, and I think it would be apropos, so apropos, because you know the announcement comes out here on Saturday, and it would be so apropos for really the guy who epitomized what Eagle football is all about, along with the late Jerome Brown and a few other guys, Reggie White. You know, it would be really apropos for Brian Dawkins to get the nod in this particular year and go in and have his moment with the Eagles here on Saturday night.
Keith, I was saying John Lynch might be his toughest opponent because, you know, being general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, he was a great safety too. And I'll give you a tidbit for your column. On Sunday, Jerome Brown would have been 52 on the 52nd NFL championship game.
Yeah. Randy Moss is probably the...
Yeah,
the
yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yeah, John Lynch, you know, they do like Lynch. He was a part of a Super Bowl team, but it's going to be a tough call there between Lynch and... I think Brian Dawkins will go in one day.
Keith, you're going to have to watch your language here. You said the S word on television.
Well, he doesn't know what this is about.
It was in his paper. Oh, by the way, Hines Ward is also up, another great wide receiver. Hines Ward and...
No, Hines Ward is not in a category, in my opinion, of Moss or T.O. personally, but he's a nice receiver. You know, but I think Andre, at least Andre, was referring to either a Moss or T.O. going in. Now, T.O., both of those guys obviously have some baggage, and it's a matter of how much baggage is you can hold against the guy. The stats are there for both of them, and I do believe both of them will get in eventually, but only one or the other will go in this year.
Isaac Bruce is another possibility.
My money would be on T.O. If I was in the guy picking it and I had just those two guys to pick from, I would pick T.O. I think his amount of work and stats and Super Bowl rings, et cetera, you know, I just think he'd be the guy I'd pick.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, yeah. But sure.
I'm enjoying it. It's cold out here, obviously. I see it's a balmy 40 or so back in the Lehigh Valley, but we're working hard out here, and, this town was kind of empty. We got here, I wouldn't say empty, but certainly not that crowded. And every day, more and more people are pouring into this town, and they're doing a great job. I mean, they can't control the weather. The stadium, which I just passed on my way up here to Minneapolis, it looks fantastic. It's a fantastic venue, and the people are very, very nice. Somebody even apologized to me for booing the Eagles at the opening night press conference, and I said, "You got to be kidding me." You never apologize for booing a Philadelphian. That's part of their birthright. You know, that's the first word they know is boo. So that's the kindness and the politeness we're seeing here from Minnesotans.
Mm-hmm. One other story that I thought ridiculous that was out there. A national sports talk show host from a formerly reputable network said that Nick Foles' stock will never, or Carson Wentz's stock will never be higher, that Nick Foles is the real leader of this team and the real reason that the Eagles have had the success in recent weeks, and that they should cut bait with Carson Wentz, try to get a lot for him, and go with Nick Foles this year. I have my own opinion on that, but...
It had to be a writer from Cleveland. It had to be.
No, it was a national...
It had to be somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about.
A station that used to talk about sports a lot. But, Keith, your thoughts on that?
I tell you what, I do feel bad for all these guys. I have a story going in tomorrow's paper from Darren Sproles. They're here. They want to play, obviously. For a guy like Sproles has never won a ring.
Yeah.
You can tell the bittersweetness of it all for guys like him and Peters and Hicks and all these guys. You know, they want this ring. They want the team to win, but gosh, they don't feel like, you know how you feel like when you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. And they're trying to be positive. They're trying to be helpful. They're trying to be supportive. But you could tell that it's killing them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely killing them that they can't be on the field. And it certainly, I haven't really seen too much of Carson, but, you know, he feels the same way as Darren Sproles, that, you know, he'd love to be out there, love to be on that field on Sunday night and helping the team. And Alex Sproles could be a difference maker in this game if he was healthy. But for most of those guys, they're going to get another opportunity. Sproles wants to come back. I talked to him today or the other day, and he wants to come back. He's working hard. We'll see if it happens. But for right now, it's a bittersweet emotion that some of those guys are feeling.
Yeah. Keith, before we let you go, do you want to update people on your high school hoops challenge? Because you're in Minnesota. It's going to be off this week. And because if the Eagles win, there's going to be chaos in Philadelphia and beyond next week. And if they lose, I think the entire eastern half of Pennsylvania is going to go comatose. Because according to the sports radio, they've already won the SSS Bowl. But what's the latest on the hoops challenge? And when is it going to resume? Because I know it's off for a few weeks now.
Well, I think you had a pretty good week, so we sort of ended it right now.
No. Yeah, thank you. I was like 8 games behind. Now I'm up to 3, and now you cut it down to 1 week left, so there's no possible way I could come even
well,
with
I think,
you. Thank you.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to wait for the playoffs. I think not the league playoffs either. You know, that week when the league championships end, and then they have that about 5 days off before they start the district, and I think we're going to do our final round leading into the District 11 tournament. So that's, I think, the week of February 18th or something like that. So we're going to give you one more shot, Chris, to look good. It's hard
no shot
to give you enough shots to look good, but we're going to give you one more try.
I never cease to be amazed at the power that you exude at the morning call. Well, I feel sorry for you enjoying the frigid temperatures out there, but I'm sure you'll have fun and you're continuing to do a great job, you and your colleagues at the morning call.
Well, I'm going to go find this Mary Tyler Moore statue in one of my favorites as a kid. So that's on my bucket list right now for this evening and trying to stay warm while I'm out and about. Nick's banging away on stories back
up
in the media.
Throw your hat up in the air, Keith. Throw your hat
I will. I actually bought one for that purpose. I really did. So.
All right. But, and make sure you see the video on the morning call tomorrow.
I'll be back next week, and hopefully I'll be back next week. And maybe we'll be talking about an unbelievable moment in Philadelphia sports history. We'll see.
I think we're in good shape.
Right. Take care.
Take care, Keith. Thanks for joining us, Keith. And again, catch all of Keith's coverage in the Morning Call at themorningcall.com. We'll take our final break and be back with a few more closing thoughts straight ahead. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our in-studio guests, Jack Logic from WGPA Radio, Joe Craig, who's probably going to get me fired by saying the S-word during the last segment.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Real quick, before we close up shot and get the Stone Cold Locks in here, Jack, I know you're tuned into a lot of the people in the Phillies organization. You had some lunch with some of the members earlier today,
right,
as a matter of fact. And for the people that hate the cold weather, spring training's just a couple days away.
Spring training's 2 weeks away. First workouts February 15th. They report the 14th. And of course, Gabe Kapler will be interesting. The national media has either said he's going to be very successful or he's going to fall flat on his face. So I'll jump on a limb and say it'll be somewhere in between. But I think young players will respond to him.
What do you think the stories to watch over the next couple of weeks, including it seems like they're stacking their team, they're loading up on relievers to have an 8-man bullpen.
Yes.
Again, this is old-school baseball. I know a lot of people that would be upset by this, but you have your pitchers come in, face the lineups twice, maybe once, and then start a string of relievers.
Well,
is that what we're going to see this year?
I think, like I said, Velasquez and Eichhoff and Pivetta have a history of throwing 100 pitches in 5 innings, so they're going to try mix and match. The Phillies are, just like teams have done in the baseball playoffs and World Series. I don't like it. I'm a traditionalist. But that's what they're trying to do. And the big storyline for the Phillies will be, will the Phillies go end spring training with 4 starting outfielders? We're not playing softball. We only can use 3. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Aaron Altier, Nick Williams, Odubel Herrera, and Ryan Hoskins. I'm just saying, will one be traded or will all 4 be there?
And a couple other stories that are out there for Major League Baseball fans. It looks like there could be a pitch clock and they're going to enforce it, or at least they say that. And also they're going to start experimenting with putting a man on second base in the 11th inning of the All-Star game and see how that works. I hope it's a disaster because I hear nothing but bad ideas coming out of Major League Baseball's front office. Jack, what are your thoughts on some of these proposed changes to the game?
I'll gag if they get start extra innings with a guy on second base. No, I don't like it. Yeah.
Joe, what are you looking at?
Well, I'm still waiting for him to get rid of the designated hitter. Yeah. I mean, they're dumbing down the game like everybody else's all these.
There was a story on that a couple weeks ago that one general manager says the DH to the National League is inevitable. Sooner or later, we're going to
see it. And it should be reversed, quite frankly. I'm a traditionalist like you are.
A St. Louis Cardinals general manager made that comment.
Yeah.
So it might behoove the Phillies to keep all four outfielders if it does happen next year.
I don't think it'll happen. I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't either.
All right, Stone Cold Lock prediction. This is where our panelists guarantee something in the world comes true. And, of course, as Joe predicted with that great prediction back on September 5th of 2006, guaranteeing the Eagles would win the NFC Championship game, although not saying the year. Joe, what's your Stone Cold Lock?
My Stone Cold Lock is not baseball and it's not football. The 76ers, trust the process, will be in the playoffs.
People are making me sick here tonight.
I think they're going to be in there.
Is Joel Embiid going to play every game in the playoffs?
Well, he's been playing. I'll tell you what, he's playing 4 out of 5 now. But you know what? The guy, he's a heck of a player. I'm telling you, they have a nice ball club. They're going to be in the playoffs.
And LeBron James is going to the Warriors. That's one of the hot rumors out there.
Yeah, well, that's
Jack, what's your Stone Cold Lock?
Duffin Catholic girls will win a state championship for the second straight years.
That's it?
That's it?
Well, that's not what you said during the commercial.
No, I changed my mind. Something else.
No, I changed my mind.
All right, I'll go one up. The wrestling program and the girls' basketball team will win a state final, and the boys will get at least 2 rounds in states, if not more. How about that?
I concur.
All right, and I know you gave your S-dash-dash-dash bowl prediction. Joe, what's your Super Bowl prediction for Sunday's
game? You just said it again. I think it's going to be Eagles.
Did I say the big game?
No. Eagles 28-16.
Yeah.
Right. I did say 27-20, right?
24-21 Eagles in the big game. Our thanks to Jack Logic, Joe Craig, Keith Groller, and Nick Fierro for joining us. Next week, high school basketball talk on the show. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.